Today's share in the Daf Yom is Gemara and Sota Daf Lamed Bav. We have a number of yard sites that we're learning for that I just received their names. We're learning Lili Nishmas, Karen Weiss Englander, Susan Mendelson, Jack Freiling, and Yaakov Heller, Yaakov Moshe Ben Zev. All the shows we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. Okay, we pick up in the Gemara Lamed Bav and Aleph on the very top line, where it says, Bo Re'ei, we're continuing to talk about Klai Yisrael crossing the Yarden, the unbelievable miracles of Kriyas Yarden. We're very much more familiar, as I said already many times, with Kriyas Yamsuf, but Kriyas Yarden was an unbelievable miracle, as we discussed a lot yesterday's year. And the Braisa continues to tell us here how many miracles occurred on that time. On the day that we crossed the Yarden, it was a very long day, and many, many miracles occurred for Klai Yisrael. And we list the whole number here now. So number one, obviously, Yisrael HaSayadin. As we had explained yesterday's year, the miracles of the crossing of the Yarden occurred on that very day, and Klai Yisrael came a long distance. We had a machlokas exactly where Hagrizim and Har-Evel were. One opinion was it was relatively close to the Yarden, but this other opinion says that the Yarden was actually quite far away. This is the opinion of Yehuda, that the Hagrizim and Har-Evel were quite far away from the Yarden. They were near Shechem. So, Ovi Yisrael HaSayadin, Uvol Hagrizim and Har-Evel, which is Yosser Mishisha Mil, according to this opinion, a 60 mil, a 60 kilometer type of a trip for an entire Klai Yisrael to travel that amount is a phenomenal miracle. And nobody was able to fight them. The enemies saw Klai Yisrael advancing, and none of the enemy were able to fight them, even though they were all women, children, and all of Klai Yisrael with all of their possessions. Nobody was able to go stand up and fight them. And anybody that did try to go fight them, they immediately became nitros. Rashi tells Biskalkum Irei, they so to say lost control of their bowels. They were so frightened from Klai Yisrael. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Esei Mosi, the fear of me, Ashalach lefonecha, I will send ahead of you. So when the enemy see you, when the goyim see you, they will be terrified. V'habosiyas kol ha'am, and they will all be totally confused. Asher tovo behem, anybody that comes to them. As Rashi points, v'habosiyas alosha muhuma, a total confusion. The irva vaguf, and their bodies, so to say, even got confused. Umash v'sochos, the insides of them became loose, and they couldn't control their bowels. And furthermore, it stays v'omer, tipol aleim emosav v'fachad. It says by Kriyas Yamsuf that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put fear and terror into them. So, this is clearly some of the miracles that occurred on that very day. And the pasuk continues, Darshting from Oz Yashir, Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavor Amzu Kanis. So what does that mean? Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem is referring to the first entry into Eretz Yisrael under Yoshua, Zu Bias Rishona under Yoshua. Ad Yavor Amzu Kanisa is referring to the second entry after the Nebuch, the first base of Mishra, was destroyed, and we came back with Ezra. That's a reference to Zu Bioshnia. When Klai Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael after Gol was Bavel and comes back in, it was a very, very poor and limited return, certainly compared to the way we entered the first time into Eretz Yisrael through Yoshua and the Yarden. So it tells us this very interesting idea. Emor Miyati, you can see from here that since the pasuk in Oz Yashar tells us Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavor Amcha Kanisa refers to both Bio Rishon and Bio Shnia, it compares them, and it basically says that Reuyin Hoy Yisrael Lasus Lemeis Bio Shnia Kibir Rishona. The Klai Yisrael ideally should have been worthy, if they had only been worthy, to have the same miraculous entry back into Eretz Yisrael after Golus Bavel, just like they had the first time they entered into Eretz Yisrael with Kriyas Yarden. There should have been some miracles returning from Bavel into Eretz Yisrael at the time of the second base of Migdash. But why didn't this occur? El Shagar Machet. We sinned, and therefore, as a result of our sins, we didn't deserve in merit having such a tremendous, joyous, miraculous entry into Eretz Yisrael, and instead, we came in under the servitude of the Persian and the Madai armies. And the Yavetz brings down that because we had married non-Jewish people, we know that Ezra and Nehemiah had to go and tell the Jewish people to separate from their non-Jewish wives, so this sin prevented us from having, at the end of the 70 years of Golus Bavel, having the great miraculous entry into Eretz Yisrael. Then we continue with the Braisa of Yachaka Chivu. That very day that we crossed the Yarden, we took out the stones from inside the Yarden, as we had discussed in previous Shurim, and they built the Mizbeach, and Besadu Basid, and they put plaster on these stones. Remember, we had previously a whole discussion whether they wrote the entire Torah underneath the plaster or on top of the plaster. Because of Olam, it's called Birya Torah B'Shiv Loshin, a miracle occurred that they were able to write the entire Torah in all 70 languages of the world, not including Hebrew. The other 70 languages of the world, they wrote it down on either underneath the plaster or on top of the plaster, as we discussed. Shenemar, as the Pasuk tells us, Ba'er Heitev, it was very, very clearly written. And in addition, v'halu olos u'shlamim, they took those stones and they made them into mizbeach, and they brought upon them olos u'shlamim, v'achlu, v'shasu, v'samchu, and they ate and they drank, and they had a tremendous rejoicing at that time, u'berchu, v'kilu, and they also had the brachos and clothes that were given on Har Gerizim and Har Rival, all on that very day. And then they undid the plaster from them, or they separated the stones in some way. And then they went to Gilgal from where they were, and that's where they made the permanent encampment of these stones, and where the Mishkan was for the next 14 years. And this is all based upon the Pasuk, Shenemar, V'avartem osam imochem, v'nachtem osam b'molon asher tolinu bo halayla. And again, I read the entire pasuk, but here we're focusing on v'nachtem osam b'molon, so yochel b'chol molon molon. You'd think they might have to take them every time they went to a different molon, a different place to stay. They'd have to bring them with them. Talmud Lomar, no, asher tolinu bo halayla, that night. Uksiv, and it says, eishtei mesrei ha'avadim ho'eila asher lochu v'gomer. They took those stones with them, and they permanently placed them over there in Gilgal. Hekim Yoshua ba'Gilgal. Okay. Now we continue in Darshan. It says, Tanu in the Brisa, tzira lo arva imohem. That Sira, that miraculous creature that was used to go and blind the enemy and to go and defeat the enemy, did not cross the Yardin with them. For it says, really, it didn't? Below, the Pasuk seems to say otherwise. The Pasuk says, V'sholachti esatziru lefonecha, and the rest of the Pasuk is, V'gerishu esachivi, esachnani, v'esachitim lefonecha. So how can you tell me it didn't cross the Yardin? So the Gemara says, no. Rish Lakish reconciles the two psukim in the following way. Amar Rishon Lakish, when it says Al Sfas Yardin Abda Vizarka Ben Mara, the Tzira didn't cross the Yardin, but it was able to shoot, so to say, its venom across the Yardin and go and defeat the Goyim by shooting across the Yardin. Besimtsa Einayim was able to blind them Milamala from above where their eyes were. Besirson, and it castrated them Milamata from below. Shenema, as the pasuk says. This is a pasuk that we have in Amos. It tells us, "V'anochi hishmadeti esamirim ipneihem." I destroyed the Amori from in front of you. Asher kigova arozim. They were very tall and strong like cedar trees. Gavo v'chason hu ka'alonim v'ashmid piryo mimal. I destroyed them from the top. V'sharishov mitochas v'gomer. And I destroyed them from the bottom as well. And this is a reference to blinding their eyes and making them sterile. That's the first pshat from Rish Lakish. Rav Papa gives a different teretz. Rav Papa Amar, he says, Shtei tziros habay. There were two different types of tzira. One in the days of Moshe, Chodah b'Moshe, and one in the days of Yeshua, Chodah Yeshua. That tzira that was by Moshe Rabbeinu, that worked against Sichon and Og, the Moshe Lo'avar, and it didn't cross the Yarden. But Yeshua also took a tzira with him, a different type of tzira somehow, the Yeshua Avar, and that one did cross the Yarden. So the two psukim aren't a tzira one to the other. You're right. The tzira Lo'avra imohem. However, the Tzira did. So the Tzira of Moshe didn't cross with them, but the Tzira of Yeshua did. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, Shisha Shvatim Olo L'Rosh HaGrizim V'chule. There were six of the Shvatim on HaGrizim and six of the Shvatim on Har Eivol. And the Gemara says, when the Pasuk tells us, it says, V'chol Yisrael V'zkeinah V'shotrov V'shoftov Omdim Mizeh U'mizeh. So we explained that we each six Shvatim on one side of the mountain, six on the other. They were in the middle. And half of Klai Yisrael was on Har Gerizim. And it's a very strange lashon. And the half El Mul Har Eivol was on Har Eivol. So what does it mean when he uses this strange lashon? My v'hachetzio. What does it mean? The half, implying hey hayidia, a very special half. What was so special about it? So we'll have a three Ramachlokis. The first opinion is Rav Kahana. Amar Rav Kahana, Kederech Shechalukin Kan, just like the Klai Yisrael had six Shvatim and Har Gerizim and six Shvatim and Har Eivol, so too that same division of the Shvatim was on the Avne Eifo of the Kohen Gadol's garments. Kachalukin be Avne Eifo. On the Eifot, it says, Shisha Mishmosam Alo Evin Ochas, Yeshmos HaShisha Anosurim Alo Evin HaShidis Kisoldosam. So you have the Eifot, the shoulder stones that were on the garment of the ephod of the Kohen Gadol. So six shvatim were written on one of those stones, and six shvatim written on the other stones. Which six shvatim on each? So the six shvatim that were on Har Gerizim were on one stone, and the six shvatim that were on Har Ebal were on the other stone. That is Rav Kahana's opinion. Now, as I said, there are three opinions here. We'll have two in the following braisa that disagree with Rav Kahana as to how the stones were actually written of the stones of the ephod. So Gemara says the following braisa argues with Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana is an Amora, he can't argue with a braisa. So the braisa will have two Tanoic opinions that seem to both disagree with Rav Kahana. Mason says in the braisa, Shtei avodim tovos hayu lo l'kohen gadol ha'ksefah. As we had already pointed out, the Kohen Gadol on his ephod had special stones, the ephod stones that were on his right shoulder and on his left shoulder. Achas mikan v'achas mikan. And he had the listing of all the shvatim on those stones, six on one and six on the other. But different than what Rav Kahana said, according to the Tanakhama of the Braisa. Ushmo shneim osar shvatim kosev aleihem, shish aleven zu, v'shish aleven zu. He agrees with that. There were six on one stone and six on the other stone. But he says, shenemar, the pasuk tells us that the stones were described as follows: Shisha mishmol sam aleven ochas, shisha hano sorim alu even hashinis kisol dosam. So six on one, six on the other, and he says kisol dosam. That vegoma here again is critical. It's according to their birth. Shnia kisol dosam. So velo rishona kisol dosam. On the first six shvatim, that was not listed in the order of their birth. On the second stone, it was listed in the order of the birth. Why was the first stone not listed in the order of the birth? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, go and put Yehuda first. Mipnei Yehuda muktam. So everybody else was in chronological birth order, except Yehuda came first. So on one stone, you had Yehuda, and then you had Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Don, and Naphtali. So that was the six firstborn children, and it was obviously the order was Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Don, Naphtali. But instead, Yehuda came first. So Yehuda is written as number one, Reuven number two, Shimon number three, Levi number four, Dan number five, and Naphtali number six. And on the other stone, you had them in their birth order: God, Asher, Yisachar, Zvulun, Yosef, and Binyamin. So that is the opinion over here of the Tanakhama. And the only one that was out of order was Yehuda. Otherwise, it was Kisol Dosam according to the birth. And by the way, the Braisa tells us, Chamishim Osios Hayu, the six shvatim on stone one and the six shvatim on stone two, each had 25 letters in the six shvatim's names. Esim Chamish Eleven Zu, the Esim Chamish Eleven Zu. And if you count it up, you'll actually see it's only 25 and 24, which the Gemara will ask when we get to the Omid Beis. In any event, that's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Now, this certainly goes against Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana said they were divided up, just like they were on Har Gerizim and Har Ebal, and the Tanakhama and the Braisa certainly says they were based upon Kitol Dosam, based upon their chronological order, with the one exception of Yehuda being first. But that certainly argues with Rav Kahana. That'll be Tiyufta number one to Rav Kahana. Okay, well, we have another Tan in the Braisa. Maybe he agrees with Rav Kahana. So the answer will be no, he doesn't. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, the second Tan in the Braisa, we turn to Lamed Vav Amud Beis, also disagrees with Rav Kahana. And he says, he says, the way that they were written down in Bamidbar, at the beginning of Bamidbar, when it lists all the Shvatim, so that's not the way they're listed over here on the Ephod. Why is that? Ella, Kiderach Shechalukin B'chomesh Sheni, in the way they're listed in Shemos, that's the way they were written down on the Ephod. Ketzad, in what way they were listed in Shemos, that they're not listed in Bamidbar? So in Shemos, it says, B'nei Leah Kisidron. In Shemos, it lists all the sons of Leah, the six sons of Leah, in their birth order. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, not their chronological order from the other Shvatim, but only for the sons of Leah. So it was Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zvulun. They're on one set of stones. Again, that's totally different than Rav Kahana said. And then on the second set of stones, you have the Bnei Rachel, and in between them, you have Binyamin at one end, you have Yosef at the other end, and you have the four Shvatim that comes from the Shvachos, Bilna and Zilpa, in between them. So you have Bnei Rachel, Echad Mikan, V'Echad Mikan, and then you have Ubnei Shvachos, Bemsa. So you have the first listing, you have is Binyamin, then you have Don, Naphtali, God, Asher, and then you have Yosef. So again, that's totally different than Rav Kahana. No, according to this version, according to Rav Chanina ben Gamliel, what does it mean, Kisol Dosam? V'elamayini Mekayim Kisol Dosam? So he says, Kishmoson Shekarlen Avihen. It's to teach us that they were listed on the stone with the names that their father, Yaakov Avinu, gave them, the lo Kishemo Shekarlen Moshe, and not the names that Moshe gave them, because when Moshe listed them, he wrote, not Reuven, but he wrote Reuveni. He didn't write Shimon, he wrote Shimoni. He didn't write Don, he wrote Doni. So Therefore, it's telling us that they were listed on the ephod with the names that Yaakov gave them. Reuven v'lo Reuveni, Shimon v'lo Shimoni, Don v'lo Hadoni, God v'lo Hagodi. So that's what Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel uses the word Kitoldosam for. The Tanakama, he used it to teach us that it was in the birth order, with the one exception being Yehuda. Neither of these two Tanoic opinions, the Tanakama or Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel, agrees with Rav Kahana. So we bottom line have to Yufta, Rav Kahana, to Yufta. So we've slugged up Rav Kahana. He can't go against Tanaim, and both of the Tanaim and the Braisa disagree with Rav Kahana. Fine. Gemara now then goes back to the question that we had, that Rav Kahana tried to explain to us, what does it mean, Ve'achetzio, the Hei Hayidio, V'ahef, Yelamai, Ve'achetzio, what is it referring to when it says V'ahef? So the Gemara says, Tana, we learn the following Braisa. It means, Chetzio, Shalmul Ha'agrizim, Meruba, Mechetzio, Shalhar Evo. The half of the population of the Shvatim that was on Ha'agrizim was greater than the half of the six Shvatim population that was on Har Evo. Why is that? Mipnei Shalevi Lamata, because Levi was in between and not on top of the mountains. And therefore, the mountain of Ha'agrizim had more people on it than the mountain of Har Evo, because Levi wasn't included with the people on Har Evo. Where it says, Adirabba, the exact opposite. Mipnei Shalevi Lamata Batshulu. So that should make it, if Levi was on the bottom, so there should be less people on Ha'agrizim where Levi was. How can you tell me that the Ha'agrizim people were more numerous than the Har Evo people because of Levi? Well, Levi was in the middle. That would deduct from Ha'agrizim, not from Har Evo. So it doesn't make any sense. Gemara says, you're right, but you have to understand it as follows. Even though Levi was on the bottom and not counted with the people on Ha'agrizim, nevertheless, the six Shvatim on Ha'agrizim was so numerous because B'nai Yosef Imam, they included the B'nai Yosef. And the B'nai Yosef were very, 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 very numerous. Shenemar, and this is seen from the following pasuk in Yoshua, where it tells us, V'yidabru B'nai Yosef is Yoshua Lemar. The B'nai Yosef went to Yoshua and said, listen, you gave us too small a portion in Eretz Yisrael. Manduna sata li nachla goral echad v'chevel echad. You only gave me one portion, one strip of land in Eretz Yisrael. B'ani Amrab, we are such a populist people, with such a numerous people, we need more portions. And therefore, you have to give us more. So that's what they told Yeshua. Yeshua. So Yeshua responded to them and said, Im Amrav Ato, if you are truly a populist people, so then, Ale Lecha, Hayyara, you should go and hide in the forest, because Ein Hara will take you, and you'll end up not being so populist, because the Ein Hara will kill you. So Yeshua tells him, Omelen Yeshua, L'chu v'achabiyu atzuchem bayarv, go and hide in the forest, because shalotish lo b'chem ayin hara, so that people don't say, wow, they're so numerous, and that's an ayin hara. So therefore, if you truly are very, very large number of people, so you should hide in the forest, so ayin hara shouldn't take you over. So Omelen, so the B'nai Yosef said to Yeshua, sorry, the Yosef, we're the children of Yosef, lo shalto bo eino bisha, we are not under the sway of an Ayin Hara, so to say. We are above Ayin Hara. They'll see, as the pasuk says, Bein Paras Yosef, Bein Paras Alei Oyin. We are above the Ayin Hara. What does that exactly mean? Baba Rabbi Yavor, explained, Al Tikore Alei Oyin, but read it, Elo Ole Ayin. We are above the Ayin Hara. Rashi explains, Olit al ha'ayin, we're above the ayin hara, the ayin ha'ayin ol alim, and ayin hara has no sway over them. So therefore, they weren't concerned about the ayin hara. Furthermore, Rav Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Amar Miyacha, he said that why weren't they at risk for the ayin hara? So he dashed them for the following, the famous bracha of Yossi, Yidgu l'rov b'ker v'aretz. So when Yaakov told Ephraim Menashe, V'yidgu l'rov b'ker v'aretz, he was comparing them to the dogim. V'yidgu has the lotion of dog. So, ma dogim shebiyam, mayim mechasen aleim, just like the fish in the sea, ayin hara can't be shoulder in them because they're not visible. The ain't no ayin shalets them, you can't see them, and therefore the ayin hara doesn't work on them. So too, avzaro shel Yosef, Yaakov gave the bracha that the children of Yosef, ain't no ayin shalets them, that the ayin hara has no power over them. Therefore, the B'nai Yosef said, we need a larger space because when we have so many people, and when Yeshua told them, go hide in the forest if you're so numerous that you shouldn't have an ayin hara, they said, we're not concerned about ayin hara. Okay. Now we go back before, we pointed out that the Braisa said that there were 50 letters in the Shemos of the Shvatim, 25 letters on one ephod stone with six shvatim and 25 letters on the other ephod stone with six shvatim. The Gemara says that's just a counting error. Hani chamishim osios? It's only 49. Chamishim nechi chada havyan. Go and count it up. If you count it up, you have on one stone, you have 25. Yehuda is 5, Reuven is 5, Shimon is 5, that's 15. Then you have Levi and Dan is another 5, that's 20. And then you have Naphtali, another 5 is 25. So that stone, Yehuda, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Dan, Naphtali, which was the first opinion in the Braisa, that there were 25 letters in those 6 Shvatim, that's correct. But then you take the other 6 Shvatim, God and Usher, that's 5. Yisachar, that's another 5, we're up to 10. Zvulun is another 5, we're up to 15. Then Binyamin is another 5, we're up to 20, but Yosef is only 4, so it's 24. So you're made a counting error. It wasn't 25 and 25, it was 25 and 24. A total of not 50, but 49. 50 minus 1, chamishim nochi chada. So how do you reconcile this? So Rabbi Yitzchak says, no problem. Yosef wasn't 4 letters, he had a 5th letter added to his name. Yosef, hosifulo os achas. There's another letter in Yosef's name. It's not a 4-letter word, Yosef, yud, vav, samach, fei, but it's really Yehosef, which adds a hey to it. Shenemar, as the pasuk tells us from Tehillim, edus bihosef somo, but say so al eretz Mitzrayim, that he made an edus for Yehosef when he went out from Mitzrayim. So the extra letter, hey, is in the word Yosef, Yehosef, and therefore there are 25 letters in those 6 shvatim on the second stone. Now, the Gemara questions this and says, Masik Lord of Nachman Yitzchak, he says, how can that be? The pasuk says, Kisol dosam bo'inan, which means that they were given the names that their father had given them at birth, and not an added name that the pasuk in Tehillim adds on a hey to Yosef's name. So it says, okay, nevertheless, Ella kol haTorah kula Binyamin ksiv. Binyamin is normally spelled with 5 letters. There's only 1 yud in Binyamin. However, v'hacha Binyamin shalim. Here, Binyamin is spelled with 2 yuds. 1 yud before the mem and 1 yud after the mem. Kidichsiv v'aviv koralo Binyamin. So therefore, you're right, Yosef only has 4 letters, but Binyamin doesn't have 5, Binyamin has 6, and therefore that adds up to 25 letters on the second stone, with Binyamin being 6, and granted Yosef only being 4. Fine. Amar Rav Chana bar Bizna, Amar Rabbi Shimon Chasida. Rav Chana bar Bizna said the name of Rabbi Shimon Chasida, Yosef HaTzadik, Shekideh Shem Shomayim. He sanctified HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in private with the whole Maisa, with Eishes Potiphar. So therefore, Hosifu Olav Os Achas, Mishmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was Zochet, he had the extra 1 letter from Hashem's name, as we pointed out, Yehosef. He had the hey added. As opposed to Yehuda, Shekideh Shem Shemayim Befehesya, Yehuda publicly sanctified God's name. Now, we had previously learned in the Masechta, and that's what some of the Mephoshim bring down over here, that this is referring to when he told Tamar Tzadka Mineni that you are more righteous than me. So, Nikra Kulo al Shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, he had the entire Yudkei Vavkei added to his shame to Yehuda is Yudkei Vavkei in addition to the Dalet. But that's not the drasha that the Gemara is going to say over here in a few moments. So here we'll have a different opportunity to say where Yehuda was Mekadi Shem Shemayim Befehesya. In any event, the Gemara says, Yosef Mahi, what was the story with Yosef and Eishes Potiphar? Because the Pasuk tells us that Mahi Kayom Hazeh, it was that very day, Vayavoha Baiso Lasos Malachto Rasha and Chumash made this Pasuk famous. This drasha is from here in the Gemara. So the first opinion is brought down. What does it mean he came home that day to do his work? So Amar Yochanan, Malami Shishneim Lidvar Averi Niskabdo. Both Yosef and Eishes Potiphar, they came back to the house that day to do an Avera, which is in accord with the Machlokas of Rabbi Shmuel. Because they also said, Vayavoh Abayis Lasos Malachto, when it says he came down to the house to do his Malacha, so it's Machlokas Rabbi Shmuel. We don't know which one said which, but Chadamar Lasos Malachto Mamish. It meant he came home to do work. He wasn't planning on doing some sort of immorality. And Yadashin the word, Lassus Malachto, to do his regular work. But the other Amora, either Rav or Shmuel, said no. Just like Rav Yochanan, V'chadamar Lassus Tzrochav Nichnas. He came in to do an Avera with Eishes Potiphar. Now, the pasuk continues and it says, the Ein Ish Me'anshe Abayis Shom V'gomer. There was no person from the house over there at that point in time. Some of darshing of the word babois, that there was nobody in the house, will see that the yukno shel aviv was outside the house. Others suggest that this was actually Asnas, the daughter of Dina, when she had been raped, so she went down to Mitzrayim, ultimately actually married Yosef HaTzadik. And she had been adopted by Potiphar, and Ashes Potiphar, and she was also the house, because she didn't go to the Avodah Zarah day, she was a Jewish lady, and she was the one that actually said that Yosef was telling the truth. In any event, that's a medrash on this, that's not what the Gemara brings down over here. And the Gemara says there was nobody in the house that day. So the Gemara questions, really? Nobody in this huge palace? Efshar Bayis Gadol Kabeis Shalosa Rasha. Potiphar was a huge tsar, and there was nobody in his house, Loya Boish. How could it possibly be that nobody was home that day, that Ashes Potiphar and Yosef could be alone, and Rahman al-Islam possibly think of doing the Aveira? So, we learned in the Braitsa, Tanya Rabbi Shmuel, they learned in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel, in the following Braitsa, that there was a Chagah for them. Also, Yom Yom Chagam Hoya, that was a day of an idolatrous festival. That was a day of their Chagah. That was a Goyisha holiday. And everybody went to their temple to go and celebrate this pagan holiday, except for Yosef, who of course wouldn't go to such a thing. And as I mentioned, Asnas, she wouldn't go to such a thing. And also, Ashes Potiphar said, I don't feel so well. She saw this was a great opportunity to be alone with Yosef. She said, I don't feel so well, I got a headache. So she stayed home. Yosef was home. She thought they were home alone, and they would commit the Aveira. Amra, ain li yom, shenizkok li Yosef, kayom hazeh. There is no better day for me to be attached to Yosef, for me to become having a relationship with Yosef over here than this day when nobody else is home. Now, to her credit, she saw through Ruach HaKodesh that she was zochet to have children from Yosef that would be great tzaddikim, and that's why she wanted to be with him. However, she misunderstood that, because it wasn't her, it was her, quote, Zera, it was Asnas, who she had adopted, and she saw that relationship with Yosef, that Yosef married her, and ended up having Ephraim and Menashe from her. So she thought that would come from her, but it really came from her adopted daughter, Asnas. In any event, that was her intention. Then it says she tried to force Yosef to do the Aveira, and Yosef didn't do the Aveira. But it's Biseyu, Bivigdo, Lemar, Vigomer. She grabbed onto him and said, go, do this Aveira with me. And the Osa Shah, Basa, Diukno, Shal Aviv, Vinir Asala, B'chalon. That very moment, he saw the image of his father, and it was appearing in the Chalon. That's why I said before, some said, Shom Baboyis was in the house. There was nobody else in the house, but he saw Diukno, Shal Aviv in the Chalon. In any event, what is exactly does this mean? So some suggest that he saw a mirror and he saw his father's face. He looked exactly like his father. And he saw Yaakov Avinu. Or did some say he saw some sort of a nevuah of Yaakov Avinu? Or it just was in his mind. He was about to do an Aveira and he thought, what would my father think about me doing such an Aveira? The tremendous influence that somebody can have on somebody else, that even when they're in the thick of doing potentially an Aveira, their influence could still be felt, and they could stop him from doing the Aveira, which is exactly what happened. The Yukno Shel Aviv, the thinking of his father, the appearance of his father, somehow seeing his father, stopped him from doing this terrible Aveira. And so to say, the Yukno Shel Aviv said to him at that moment, Amalo, his father either literally or Kaviyachu said to him in some sort of way, Yosef, Asid Nachecho Sheikosu Al Avnei Eifod, it is destined that all the Shvatim are going to be written on the Avnei Eifod, as we said, six on one side of the Eifod and six on the other stone on the other side of the Eifod, and you're supposed to be there. But if you do this Aveira, you're not going to be there. Ritzoncha Sheyimacha Shimcha Mibeneihem? Besikra Roe Zonos? Do you want your name to be erased from there and not have your name on the Eifod? And instead of you being called a Roe of Klai Yisrael, a shepherd of Klai Yisrael, you want to be called a shepherd of Zonos? In other words, somebody who engages with Zonos? Dechsiv, as the Pasuk tells us, this is a Pasuk for Mishlei, Dechsiv, the Roe Zonos, Ya'abed Hon. The one who goes and hangs out with Zonos, he will lose Hon. He will lose everything. It's interesting. They darshan out the word Hon is actually a drasha here of the words of the Eifod through a complicated discussion that Abu Yitzchak and Yaakov were also listed on the stones of the Choshen Mishpat of the Kohen Gadol. And in any event, so the word Hon would be erased if Yosef's name wasn't there. So immediately, Miyad, Vateshev Be'eson Kashto, Yosef stopped from about to do the Aveira. He had already become somewhat infused with the desire, and he had Zera inside of him that was going to come out, and immediately he stopped, and he forced himself not to have the Zera come out. I'm Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Meir. So Rav Yochanan said the name of Rav Meir. Remember, we had before that there was a simon that Rav Yochanan had said, four things in the name of Reb Meir. We had only three things over there. This is the fourth one, and the Rashash says this should be Bishum Rebbe and not in the name of Rebbe Meir. In any event, Rebbe Yochanan says over here in the name of Rebbe Meir or in the name of Rebbe, Sheshava Kashto Leisano. So to say, his bow, meaning his Zera, returned to the way it was previously. He no longer was kosher. He no longer was erect. By a fozu zroa yodim, and the Zera, so to say, came out of his hand. Noatz yodim bekarka, he put his fingers into the ground. He suppressed his desire to do this Avera, and the Zera miraculously came out of his fingers and out of his gid. B'yotzo shichva zaro, mibein tziporne yodav. A tremendous miracle, very deep idea over here. He was able to control his desires, and the Zera didn't come out in the normal way. It came out somehow through his fingers, whatever that exactly means. And this is an allusion to the idea, Midei Avir Yaakov, that the power of Yaakov Vinu, the Diyuk Noshel Aviv, was able to go and prevent him from doing this Avera with Eishes Potifar. And that's why it says, Mi Goram Lo, Shechokek Alav Ne'efot, who caused Yosef's name to still be written on the Ephod? El Avir Yaakov. It was the power of Yaakov, the Diyuk Noshel Aviv, that prevented him from doing this Avera. And it says, Mishom Roa Evin Yisrael. From there, he became a shepherd of Klai Yisrael, rather than becoming, as the Pasuk said, Roa Zonos Yabed Hon. So Mishom Zoch Vinasa Roa for Klai Yisrael, Shema Roa Yisrael Hazina Noe Katzon Yosef. So therefore, he became a true great leader of Klai Yisrael, rather than Rachmona Litzlan, going off and doing such a terrible Aveira. Gemara continues, says Tanya, we're in the following braisa. Originally, the plan was that Yosef would also have 12 sons, just like his father, Kederesh Yotzum, Yaakov Aviv. And that was the plan. However, Shedemar, we see that it said, Eda told us Yaakov Yosef. Just like Yaakov had told Shvatim, Yosef was supposed to have 12 children as well. However, this Sheikh Vazera that came out from his fingers limited his having 10 less children, and therefore he had only two children, Ephraim and Menashe. El Shiyotza Sheikh Vazera Mibain Siporne Yodav, and he didn't have the schus to have 12 children. Nevertheless, his brother Binyamin got those 10 children. His brother Binyamin had the 10 children. The Kulam Nikra Shmo, and they're all named in some way related to Yosef Atzadik. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, and we'll list here all of the 10 children of Binyamin, Uvnei Binyamin, Bela, Vavecha, Viashbel, Gera, Vinaman, Achi, Varosh, Mupim, Vichupim, Vart. So here we only have Vigomer after Viashbel, but now we're going to list all the 10 children and what their names were for. And they're all named after Yosef. So Bela, why was the first child of Binyamin called Bela? Shenivla Bein Umos, because he was missing out his brother. He didn't get the chance to grow up with Yosef because Yosef was swallowed up, Bala, amongst the nations. In other words, he was sold into captivity and swallowed up by Mitzrayim. Vabecher, that's a reference to the fact that Bechor Li'imoya, that he was not the Bechor of Yaakov, but he was the Bechor of Rachel. Binyamin was the second born, and he named his son Becher to allude to the fact that Yosef was the Bechor of Rachel, their mother. Why was the third son called V'ashbel? Sheshivo Kel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him into a captive. So therefore, he recognized this and called the third son Ashbel. Why was the fourth son called Gera? Shegor V'achsanyos. Because he lived in various hotels, so to say. In other words, he wasn't living at home. He was living in all sorts of different places on his route to Mitzrayim, and then even in Mitzrayim. The fifth child he named Vinamon. Why is that? Shinoim Biyosef. Because he was very, very pleasant. He knew Yosef was a very, very pleasant person, so he named the child Naamon after Yosef's pleasantness. The sixth child and the seventh child, Echi V'Rosh. Why was the sixth and seventh child Echi and Rosh? Ochiu. It was my brother, Viroshiu, and he's my older brother. So therefore, that's why the six and seven children were named Echi and Rosh. The eighth and ninth children were called Mupim v'Chupim. Now, we don't really have in the Gemara why it was called Mupim. So Rashi tells us, brings down the Medrash, in the Ramaskul Mupim, he says, Mefurish b'Medrash Rabbi Tenchuma, Shoyopiv kifi Yaakov Avinu, behilchos shekibo mishem v'ever. That he was very knowledgeable in the halachos. Yaakov taught Yosef the special Torah to live amongst the Goyim, so therefore he called his brother Mupim. So that was brother number eight. Number nine, v'chupim, why is that? Hu lo ra'a b'chupasi, v'ani lo ra'isi b'chupaso. That neither of us was zochet to be at each other's wedding. I got married without Yosef there, and Yosef got married without me being there. So that's the first nine children of Binyamin. And the tenth child, he was called V'ard. Why is that? Shiora l'vinu masolim. He had to go down into Mitzrayim amongst the nations of the world. Others say, Yikadiyamre, he was called V'ard. The tenth child was called Ard, Shepanav domim leverit. That his face was like a rose, that he was so beautiful. Okay, that's what Binyamin did to remember his brother Yosef. He named all of his 10 children after Yosef or some attribute or some characteristic that happened to Yosef. Gemara says, Amar Ruchia Barabba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Ruchia Barabba saying Rav Yochanan, Bishah Shamalo Paro Li Yosef, when Paro said to Yosef, Ubilodecha Li Amrish, Esya Dov Gomer, I'm going to make you the viceroy in all of Mitzrayim, you're going to be the second in command, Sheni Lamelech, and nobody can do anything without you, without your agreement. So the other advisors of Paro were not happy. Amru, it's Tanigne Paro to Paro. The other advisors, these astrologers, the Tanigne Paro, said to him, he's an Eved. Eved, Shilakocho, Rabo, Biasu, Kesef. He was bought for 20 silver coins. Tam Shileu, later, you're making him into a leader over all of us. He's an Eved. So Paro said, no, I can tell he's a very, very royal person. Amalhan, no. Ginune Malchus Anirobo. I see he's of royal nature. He's a very special person, and I'm able to tell that. And therefore, as Rashi says, Gavune Malchus Bechokmo Givura Yofi. I can see that he's a very smart person, a very strong person, a very beautiful person. He obviously comes from a royal lineage. So it's Tanigi Paro said to him, if he comes from a royal lineage, then he must know royal things, such as all 70 languages. They had a Kabbalah that royalty knew all 70 languages. So Amulo said, it's Tanigi Paro said, oh, but now we'll get Yosef. Imkain, yeah, you're there, Bishim Lashel. Let's see if he knows all 70 languages. So Paro said, okay, I'll check it out in the morning. We'll see if he knows them. Fine. That night, Bar Gabriel, the Limdo Shiv Lashel. So that night, Gabriel came. Remember, we had Gabriel knew Aramaic as well. We had brought that down earlier. So Gabriel came and taught Yosef all 70 languages. He didn't have any success. It was hard to learn 70 languages in one night. So lo havik gomer, he wasn't able to learn it. So that's why Hosif lo os achas mishmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you added on to him the letter hey from the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Laman. And now Yosef was able to understand all 70 languages. Shenemar, as the pasuk said, Eidus bi Yosef samo. It says so, al eretz mitzrayim. So the extra hay that was put in allowed Yosef to master all the 70 languages. Safas lo yadati, as the pasuk says, eshma. That language, which I did not know, now I know. And the Marsha brings down that this pasuk starts off with an ayin and ends with an ayin. Eidos and eshma starts and ends with an ayin. So it's an idea of the 70 languages. Okay, the next day, Paro tests him, and he sees that he knows all the languages. Ulamachar, kolishna dishtoi Paro bahadei, ahadale. He tested him out. He asked him in French, he asked him in Spanish, he asked him in Italian, and he knew it. However, ishtoi iyu b'loshen kodesh, then Yosef spoke to Paro in Loshen Kodesh, and lo have kayoda, my other hava amar. And Paro didn't understand the Loshen Kodesh. Now, Paro was a little bit nervous, because now it was clear that while he spoke 70 languages, he didn't speak Hebrew. And he was afraid that if that was found out, all of a sudden they would say, hey, he's not of royal descent. So Amalei Sapara said to Yosef, Agmere, quickly teach me Hebrew. He tried to teach him Agmere, however, Logomar. But Paro wasn't able to comprehend. He wasn't able to learn Hebrew. So Paro made Yosef swear, Amalei, Ishtabali delo megales, swear to me that you won't tell anybody that I don't know Hebrew. And he swore to him, Ishtabalo, and he kept his promise. However, that was a very helpful thing because Nebuch, as I pointed out the other day, when Yaakov Avinu died, Yosef wanted to bury Yaakov Avinu as he swore to him he would in Eretz Yisrael. And Ki Amar Lei, Avi Hishbiani Lemar. So Yosef told Paro, I got to leave Mitzrayim for a while. Got to go bury my father back in Eretz Yisrael. I swore to him I would do so. So you know what Paro said? Go do Hataras Nedarim. Amalei, Zil Itshil Ashu Asach. Go and do Hataras Nedarim. Go ask the Shaila to the Rabbanim, have them be Mati your Shvua, and then you don't have to go down, and you'll bury your father here in the Nilus like Paro wanted. So Yosef tells him back very sharply, Amalei, if you want me to, I'll go ask Shaila on that Shvua, but I'll also go ask Shaila on another Shvua that I made. The Ishtalei Nami Adidach. I'll also ask Shaila, can I tell everybody, which I swore I wouldn't do, that you don't know Hebrew? So if you want me to go and ask Shaila on the shua that I said I would bury my father, I'm going to also simultaneously ask Shaila on the shua that I said that I wouldn't tell anybody that you don't know Hebrew. Paro had a change of heart. The Afal God, the Lo Nichale, he wasn't happy about it. He told Yosef, Omalei, Aleu Kvar Es Avicha Kasher Ishbiacha. Say, oh yeah, I changed my mind. Go and bury your father as you swore, because I don't want you to go and be shawl on that, because then you'll be shawl on the other thing as well. Fine. That's the story of Yosef. He was Mekadishim Shemayim Bitzina in private. Yehuda Mahi. We said that Yehuda had all four letters, Yud Kei Vav Kei, added to his name because he was sanctifying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in public. Where is that? The Tanya. Hayir Meir Omer, Kishamdu Yisrael Layom. Rebbe said when Chai Yisrael was on the Yam Suf waiting to cross the Yamsuf. They didn't know that the miracle would occur. The Shvatim were fighting with each other. Say, I want to jump in first. Each one wanted to be the first one to jump in. So what happened? Kofatz, and we turn to Lamed Zayin with Aleph. Shifto Shel Binyamin. So Shevet Binyamin jumped in ahead of everybody else. V'yared Liyam Tchila, and they jumped in first. Shenem, as the pasuk says, Shan Binyamin Tzoir Rodeim. Dear Binyamin, who was the youngest of all the Shvatim, he was Rodeim. He ruled over them. And we play on the word Rodeim, Altikri Rodeim, Elo Rod Yom. He went down into the Yam. As Rashi says, Yared Bayam, Al Shebotach Biakosh Bo. He trusted Hashem that Hashem would make the nays, and Shevet Binyamin jumped in. Raid Yom. Why you sorry, Yehuda? Wrong on something. The people of Yehuda, hey, we should have gone first. And they were very mad, and they threw stones at Binyamin in the Yam. Shinema, sorry, Yehuda, Rigmasam. The leaders of Yehuda, they went to throw stones at Binyamin in the Yam. Lefikach, but because Binyamin jumped in first, Lefikach, Zocha Binyamin Tzadik, Venas Ush Bezichon Ligvura. Therefore, Binyamin was Zocha to have the majority of the Beis HaMikdash in his share. He shared a little bit with Yehuda, but the majority was in Binyamin's portion. As the Pasuk says, Shinema, Uvenk Sefov Shochet, that the Shechina, so to say, is resting in the portion of Binyamin. So this is the first part of this price, and it says Binyamin was the one that jumped in first. But Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda, Yehuda said to Rabbi Meir, no, I disagree with you. Lo kacha yamaisa, I have a different understanding of what happened. Not that Binyamin jumped in first, but nobody wanted to jump in. El zelmer ein ani yorei tchila l'yam. The zelmer ein ani yorei tchila l'yam. Nobody wanted to be the first ones to jump in. The waters were raging, they were terrified, and they didn't know that an ace would occur. So none of them wanted to jump in first. So then, kafatz nachshu ben aminadav, v'yorei l'yam tchila. So a single person from Yehuda, nachshu ben aminadav, he went and jumped in. Shinema, as the pasuk says, Sivavuni bechachash Ephraim ubemira beis Yisrael. This pasuk from Hosea tells us that Ephraim was surrounded with Sheker, so to say, and the entire Klai Yisrael was surrounded with Mirma. However, the Yehuda odrod imkel, but Yehuda, he had faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he jumped in, meaning Nachshu ben Aminadav. But Olav Mefarish b'Kabbalah, and it says in the Kabbalah, this is a reference to Nachshu ben Aminadav jumping in. And furthermore, we have in Tehillim a number of references to this as well, where it says, Hosheini Elokim Kivo Mayim HaNofesh, Nachshu ben Aminadav said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save me, the waters are coming up to my neck. When he just jumped in a little bit, so nothing happened. He went in a little bit more, nothing happened. He went in up to his waist, nothing happened. Up to his neck, nothing happened. And the next step he was about to take, he would have drowned. So he said, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save me. Tovati bivein mitzula v'ein mamad v'gomer. He says, I'm going to drown. If I go in any further, I'm going to drown. Al tishtefeini shibolus mayim. Don't let the waters sweep you away. Don't let me drown over here in the waters. Don't let it come up over my mouth. And at that moment, Moshe Rabbeinu was davening. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, now's not the time for a long Gishman Esrei. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yedidai Tovim Bayom, V'ato Marach B'tfilah L'fonai. Nachshu ben Aminadav is about to drown in the ocean, and you're saying a long Gishman Esrei? So what should you do? Stop. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no, what should I do? Ribono Shel Olam, Uma B'yad Hashem, I'm davening, what else can I do? So Amar lo, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Daber b'nei Yisrael v'yiso. Tell Klai Yisrael to all go forward and I will split the sea. Go and take your stick and hit the Yam and the waters will split. We know it went into 12, some say 13 pathways for each of the Shvatim. Some say the Kohanim was separate, Levim was separate. And Lefikach, Zocha Yehuda Lassos B'Mshol B'Yisrael. Because Nachshu ben Aminadav went in, so he was Zocha, therefore to become the leaders of Klai Yisrael. Shenemar, Ha'isa Yehuda L'Kadsho, Yisrael B'Mshol B'Yisrael. Yehuda became the appointed one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rule over the rest of Klai Yisrael. Why? Because it saw what Nachshu ben Aminadav did, and therefore the water split, and that is why Yehuda is the rulers of Klai Yisrael. So we have two different versions over here as to how the sea split, either Shevet Binyamin, and they were rewarded, or it was Shevet Yehuda, and they were rewarded, and I heard from my Rebbeim that you can reconcile these two versions. Both of them occurred. In fact, Binyamin jumped in first, but then when the waters didn't split right away, so then Nachshu ben Aminadav jumped in, and the waters did split for him, so both of them really were Zocha to do all of this. And that's how we can reconcile these two different versions, but they're beautiful, beautiful stories over here as to what went on. We're just barely scratching the surface. There's opportunity for people to go and delve into much more into the Sfarim on these stories. I hope you do. With this, we'll conclude today's share. Have a great day.